This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're headed not quite to space. The magnificent flying balloon. Bob Zimmerman is here. He keeps the website Behind the Black, and he's going to reintroduce us to the concept of worldview. Bob, a very good evening to you. This was a cool idea when I first heard about it, but there have been bumps along the way. Where is it now? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, I had an essay on Behind the Black this week, this specific balloon company, Worldview. It's based in Tucson. And they had an event at their offices to showcase their company and their staff and their concepts and their factory and everything. And so I attended that, and they decided to write up a description of it, and mostly to cover their strategy, which is really interesting. They are one of two different balloon companies in the United States that are going to offer high-altitude tourist flights by balloon. The other company is called Space Perspective. It's located in Florida. And they're charging $125,000 per ticket, $125,000, and they hope to be launching their Neptune balloon by 24. Worldview was the first company to suggest, to propose tourist flights by balloon. And these tourist flights, by the way, get you up to about 20 miles altitude. So it's not in space, but you see the curve of the Earth, and you're above 90% of the atmosphere. So, for all intents and purposes, you're experiencing what space is like. You see what space is like. You don't experience weightlessness or anything like that. But you see what it's like when you're in orbit, I think, pretty clearly. And you'll have several hours while you're up there. So the Worldview was going to offer this back before 19. But they had to back off from that in 19 because they failed to meet the terms of a local development deal in Tucson, and they had to reshape the company. There was a change in leadership, and for a period of about 2 years, they said, we're holding off doing any kind of tourist flights. We're going to focus on doing reconnaissance, surveillance, and for both military and commercial purposes, using reusable long-term balloons that can hold position over a specific location. They demonstrate that. They've had a 45-day flight where they took off from Tucson, flew across to Florida, and then flew above Florida for about 45 days for a customer. However, about, I don't know, a few months ago, they announced that they restarted the plans to do tourist flights. They're going to charge only $50,000 per person, which is considerably less than Space Perspective, and that in a sense gives them a leg up. They have an interesting philosophy for how they're going to run these flights, which is different than what Space Perspective has done, or at least has announced it's going to do. Worldview has actually picked 7 locations worldwide where they're going to fly from. And every single one of these locations is tourist hotspots, places that people go because there's interesting things to see, such as the Grand Canyon, such as the pyramids of Egypt, such as the Great Wall of China. By the way, they wouldn't fly from China for a lot of security reasons. They should fly from Mongolia. The Great Barrier Reef, things like this, the Serengeti in Africa. And these are places people go as tourists. So here you can not only go as a tourist, but you can go on a stratospheric balloon flight while you're there and look down at these really beautiful things. It's an interesting strategy. It's going to definitely lure business. It's also, their plan is also to set up facilities in each of these locations to hire local people, and that also produces goodwill within those locations. So it's an interesting strategy, and their price point, $50,000, is interesting too to me, because it's about what expensive, unusual vacations generally do. The high adventure vacations, let's say to Antarctica or the Himalayas, they charge in that range. So there is a real market that exists and is proven to exist at that price point. And so, you know, this is where we're going. But they also hope to fly by 24. That their price is cheaper is probably reflected by the fact that they're going to try to put more people on their balloon, in the gondola of their balloon. But, you know, all of that can change over time. But these two companies are now competing, and that's what's really bottom line, John. What you're seeing is that The tourism industry for flying passengers into space or near to it is widening. You're getting incredible competition in the balloon market, two companies. And we've had in the last year, five suborbital flights and three tourist flights, orbital flights, in just the past year. And so there are many options. If you want to go save money, you can go on a balloon flight for several hours, for a whole day. Or you can spend more money and do a short suborbital hop and get into space. Or if you really want to spend the big bucks, John, you can go to orbit and spend anywhere from a week to several weeks, in a space station. That's where our future lies. Lots of things going on here.
Here's what I like about the balloons, Bob. In my youth, there was a movie called Around the World in 80 Days, which is based on Jules Verne's Around the World in 80 Days. Phineas Fogg setting a bet with someone that he can do this around the world. A balloon is much more magical to my youth than taking off in a rocket ship, which is a safety issue, but also at the same time doesn't give you that joy of silence when you're drifting above the clouds. So I think it's a very good idea, a wonderful marketing idea. But at the same time, you know, you have contact with the 19th century and the 18th century. Ascending in a balloon was the first flight, not rocket ships.
This is absolutely true, John. And there is a really, it's a different kind of experience. The suborbital flights are essentially quick joyrides, like a roller coaster. Go up, you come down, you're done in about 10 minutes, the actual flight. But this, you'll be in the air, you'd be from takeoff to landing is going to be anywhere from 6 to 9 hours. You'll be up in the stratosphere for anywhere 2 to 4 hours. So that's a lot of time to enjoy the view and to really get a sense of it. So once again, this is just an interesting idea. It's a variation on a theme, and it's just indicating that there is a lot of interest in doing this kind of stuff. That means space is the place. That's what I see.
We go from Around the World in 80 Days to The Mundane, which is a fuel leak on Dragon cargo capsule. Now, Bob, Dragon is associated with a highly successful organization. I'm glad to see that it's human once in a while, and they had a leak.
We don't know what exactly happened yet. This is a cargo capsule. It was supposed to launch at the end of this week. In doing the fueling, they put hydrazine fuel. This is it's a hypergolic fuel. It's very toxic. And hypergolic means that when the two types of fuel come together, they instantly ignite. They don't need an ignition source. And so it's very good for attitude jets, but it's very toxic material. And it's one of the reasons when a manned capsule comes down, they spend a lot of time checking for fuel leaks before they let anybody near it or they open the hatch, because they want to make sure none of this hydrazine fuel is leaked. Well, they detected hydrazine, elevated vapor readings of hydrazine in a region around the propulsion system of this cargo Dragon capsule while they were loading propellant. And so they decided to cancel the launch this week, scrub it, and they're going to have to try to figure out if that leak, if that this elevated vapor readings was coming from the capsule or not. It might not have been coming from the capsule, but they got to find out where it was coming from and fix the problem. It's too toxic. You don't want it around, and you really want to make sure everything's right. So this SpaceX launch later this week is delayed. It probably will not be delayed for a very long time, but they got to get it fixed, John.
And SpaceX also has security challenges. A woman at Boca Chica. How so, Bob?
A woman was arrested for trespassing at SpaceX's Boca Chica facility. What I thought was a little disturbing about this happened, by the way, on June 1st. It was only reported today in the press. They found this person, her name was Nevea Rose Parker, 20 years old, roaming around the fifth floor of the High Bay number 1 building. Now, the high bays at Boca Chica are where they're assembling the Starship and Super Heavy prototypes. Basically like SpaceX's vehicle assembly building, the VAB at Kennedy, but it's so this woman was able to get onto the property and climb up to and go up the stairs to the fifth floor of the high bay before anyone found her. She claimed she was an employee of SpaceX, but she wasn't. She claimed she wanted to speak to Elon Musk, but we don't know why. They haven't really released much information about this, but it's really disturbing that an unknown person could get that far into this building where rockets are assembled, especially especially considering the growing hate Musk campaign that exists on the left. That's not a good thing, and SpaceX has got to deal with this in a better way. They can't let this happen.
I've watched that campaign, Bob, especially in the financial press, the Bloomberg reporters, both for green Bloomberg and the regular straight-up financial reporters talking about the Twitter deal. And over these last weeks, it's been odd to see people goading Musk as if it's personal with them. You know, here you are, a financial writer, and you're writing about the richest man in the solar system who's magical with SpaceX and Tesla. It's odd. It's as if they've made him into... Do you remember there was a character named Daddy Warbucks a long time
ago? Oh, sure. Yeah. A Little Orphan Annie. Right?
Yeah, they've made him into Daddy Warbucks, and it's just fun to pull his beard, even though he's not bearded at the moment. It's very odd, and I'm watching...
It's all politics, John. There are a lot of irrational people now in our, quote, intellectual, unquote, community who no longer think rationally. They are totally consumed by their partisan politics and the emotions thereof. And so when someone suddenly leaves the plantation of one side or another, the other side, those people that have been abandoned go crazy. And that's exactly what's going on. They are suddenly filled with hate for him, because even though he's been generally a moderate to liberal politically for most of his life, because he's now speaking out against some left-wing agendas, he's now become a hated figure. And let's go to the next story, John, because it relates to this. France
Starlink
has just reapproved Starlink service in that country. Now, what's interesting about this in subject of Musk hate is that Starlink was originally approved back in February of 21, but in April, its license was revoked. And it was revoked because two French environmental activist organizations appealed the Starlink approval. And they cited for their reasons for doing this was the impact of Starlink constellation on our views of the night sky and its possible space debris, which is all very bogus type stuff. And it indicates to me more attempts by this Musk-hate campaign to attack him any way they can. Well, the government in France, its bureaucracy, did what the due diligence, and this is necessary since April, and they've now reapproved SpaceX. In recent days, it's also gotten approval in the Philippines and in Nigeria, and so it's widening its availability globally quite extensively, John.
We go to China, the People's Republic of China, which has a space station in orbit, and it's launched three more astronauts. This is all prepped to build the station bigger. Is that right, Bob? The expansion?
This mission that just launched with the three astronauts is for a six-month mission. And during that mission, the next 6 months, they're going to launch the last two large modules for the station. This station could expand beyond that, but its original design, when this six-month mission is over, the station will be complete as originally planned. These astronauts are going to be up there to facilitate the completion of the station. The two large modules that launch will both launch on a Long March 5B. What we do not know yet whether they've redesigned the Long March 5B so that its core stage does not have to crash down on people uncontrolled. We'll have to wait and find out. They're not telling us. But either way, they've got this, their mission up in space for 6 months. If everything goes right, they're going to actually do their first crew rotation following this mission, whereby the next crew will launch before this crew comes down. And so that way, what China really is facing here is the possibility of permanent occupancy in space. They will maintain a crew continuously. That's their goal. And that puts them in the same league as everybody else who's been occupying the International Space Station continuously now.
Right. It used to be we said near peer, it's a peer. Bob Zimmerman.
Yeah.
He keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going to the Sunspot Report next. Always exciting, always revelatory of where we are, perhaps, in our solar system and climate on Earth. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.